Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul and I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. I hope your day is off to a great start and your week has been good so far as well. This past Sunday, we were continuing in the Ascent series and I chose to really zero in on Exodus chapter 19 because I find the interaction between God, Moses, and Israel to be quite fascinating. God tells Moses, hey, I want to make Israel this chosen people. I own and rule all the earth, and I want you to be my treasured possession. And in order to do that, God gives Moses some really clear instruction as to how Israel can draw near to him. And he gives us that in verse 10 of Exodus 19. He says, The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. To consecrate means to be set apart or to be made holy. And verse 11 says, and be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. And so there's this wonderful, you know, I want you to be my people. I want to make you my treasured possession. And there are limitations and there are parameters by which one can become God's chosen person and his treasured possession. And that's fascinating. And what I love about this is it really establishes the holiness of God in the mind of Israel. Of course, they would have seen his wondrous works, but that was being doled out upon others. And there's something about when something's happening to somebody else, it doesn't quite hit home for you. You know, they saw what God did to the Egyptians, and now God's holiness is clearly on display for them. And they're confronted with his glory and his power and the specifics by which he has commanded that they approach him and that they interact with him and that they encounter him. And so he has these really specific rules to say, hey, I'm going to come down on Sinai in 3 days. You got to prepare yourself. And then when the trumpets blow, you can approach the mountain, but you can't touch it. And if you touch it, there's going to be consequences. You're going to die. And, you know, sometimes I think when we read the Old Testament, we say, man, I'm so glad God isn't that way in the New Testament. You know, there's this narrative or this teaching that's wrong, by the way. That says the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. And that's just not true. God is the same God always and forever. He is unchanging. And that's actually a really good thing for us, by the way. God is just as gracious and merciful and loving in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. And the reason we know that is because God allowed Israel to be his people at all. That God would rescue them, that God would give them a way in which they can come near to him, that God would desire to dwell in their midst. That is grace upon grace upon grace. That is mercy, that is love on full display. But here's what I really zeroed in on. I think we need to understand the holiness of God and the specifics by which we can approach him. You can't just go waltzing up to God, you know, climbing the mountain up to him without following the right steps. Because if you don't follow the right steps, well, you're going to die. And that sounds harsh, but that's what the scriptures say. And I think when we understand that and we sort of settle in our minds the holiness of God and how that holiness outworks or works when we interact with it when we are unholy, I think that's really helps us magnify rightly our view of Jesus. Because through Jesus, you and me, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Like, think about that for a minute. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence. That is, we can come to God as little kids saying, Daddy. Because of Jesus, we have been made temples of the living God. Like, that God would dwell within us, in our midst. Wondrous things. And what we need to understand is there is a specific way by which we now have access to God. There is a specific way in which we are made temples of the living God. There is a specific way that we have been made co-heirs with Christ. There is a specific way in which we have been brought into the family of God, that we've been grafted in. And that specific way is through Jesus. And as we see how Jesus gives us access to the holy God the Father, that should do in us something wonderful. It should it should really point our hearts and our minds and our attitudes toward Jesus to say, wow, like, you're so good, Jesus. And I think when we study passages like this in the Old Testament, it should work like a telescope, more than a microscope. You see, a microscope takes something really, really small and makes it bigger. But a telescope takes something really, really, really big and it allows us to see it closer to its reality. And I pray that passages like this are a telescope to see Jesus rightly, that Jesus is really, really big and wondrous and magnificent. And as we see passages like this, that they would function to allow us to see him more as he is, wondrous, mighty, almighty God, and sacrificing himself so that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we can be made living temples for God, so that all of the promises are yes for us. And so I hope that's an encouragement for you today. And I hope it just leads you to worship today. It's really good for my soul today. Today didn't start very good for me. I was still stressed out today from the start. And sometimes just settling my heart and saying, God, I need you. And Jesus, golly, you're really good. I hope that's an encouragement for you today. Let's go ahead and pray because we need it. And Lord knows I need it. Father, I do need you. We need you. Let us worship you, Jesus, and let that be just a balm to our souls, that we would be satisfied in you, that we would be comforted in you, that whatever we're walking through in this season, in this moment, we would see you, Jesus, rightly, because we would understand the holiness of God rightly, and we would understand our sin rightly. And when all of those things begin clicking, we realize, wow, I deserve death. I deserve wrath. But instead, I get grace and I get love and I get God. I want to praise you and worship you, Jesus, because you did it all for us. And because you did it all for us, there's no boasting in us. There's no boasting in ourselves. There's just worship. And there's joy and there's peace. Because we're known, because we're loved, we're seen, we're cared for. And whatever we're walking through today, you're bigger than it. You've overcome the world. We will have troubles in this world, but you, Jesus, have overcome the world. We need you. Lead us today, Father. Lead us today, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we praise you. It's in Christ's name that I ask and pray these things. Amen.